to break down this trade. Good friend of the show from TSN 1040 in Vancouver, Matt Sakaris joins us. Matty, welcome back to the show, my man. How are you?
Jason, I'm well. Thanks for having me back.
Oh, for talk radio, guys, you were loving it. You're like, bingo, we got a big show now. What was the reaction in Vancouver to the trade?
For the most part, it was positive, although that depends on how you attack the building project that is the Vancouver Canucks over the next few years. We have a significant portion, I'm not sure it's the majority, but it's certainly a significant portion of our audience and of Canucks fans who believe they should absolutely do what the Oilers and Leafs have done, tear it down to the ground and build it up block by block. This isn't necessarily a tear it all the way to the ground, build it up block by block trade. So in those circles, it was disliked. It was also disliked in the advanced stats community, where a defensive defenseman like Gudbranson doesn't really move the meter, whereas a 19-year-old hybrid centerman winger like Jared McCann does a little bit better. But, you know, we ran a poll for most of today, and I think 70% of Canucks fans were in favor of this trade. And I'll tell you this, Jason, boy, did it come at the right time for us, because I don't know about your audience, and it seems like a good part of Canada is not really tuned into the Stanley Cup playoffs this year. So having a major trade like this with a couple of young principals to discuss was manna from heaven for us today.
Matt, you know, we could discuss or debate the analytics of a player like Branson, but the one thing that's obvious is he's a National Hockey League defenseman. He's just entering his prime years. And whether you're tearing it down or trying to patch things up and stay competitive, this guy can play for you.
He can, although I think everybody would question his offensive upside or his ability with the puck to help you on the offensive side, you know, even to the point of 20 points a season. But he's no doubt a National Hockey League player, and the player they traded out, who, while he played in the National Hockey League last year, clearly wasn't ready from a strength standpoint and probably would have played in the American Hockey League this season for the Vancouver Canucks. So, you know, I think a lot of Canucks fans looked at it through that prism. Look, here's a guy who's going to help us right now, unquestionably, as opposed to a guy who may still be a year or two away from helping the National Hockey League team. The one thing I will say, though, Robin, he's a $3.5 million guy this year heading into restricted free agency and unrestricted free agency the year after that. Mm-hmm. He is an interesting re-sign because it asks you the question, how much money are you willing to put into a defenseman who offers you very little to no offense?
Well, it's a good question. My best comparison when I look at Gudbranson, Manny, is Jason Smith, who was 25 when Toronto traded him to Edmonton. And, like, there was all the talk of Branson, who was going to be maybe the next captain in Florida. You know, a lot of leadership qualities. He's never going to be an offensive defenseman. But, yeah. And I know that, you know, different era. But, man, any Oilers fan will tell you, if you could get a Jason Smith on your defense corps, you would gladly take it. Obviously, you need some skilled guys around him. And with McCann and Tanev, you know, they seem to have those guys on their team. Like, when I look at their top four just on paper, I actually like the mix of it quite well in Vancouver. You've got the, you know, the physical guy in Gudbranson if you need him. You know, who's a better skater than I think some people are giving him credit for. The Jared Cowan comparisons are ludicrous, in my opinion.
Oh, he's a much better skater than McCown, although he has been similar to McCown on the fancy stats here for the last couple of years. But, yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Now, Jared McCann. I honestly, you know, I watched Vancouver a little bit. What's your expectations on him as a player? How did he look in his 69 games?
Well, look, he's got a great shot, NHL-level shot, unquestionably. He's a pretty good skater. I think he thinks the game pretty well and is actually pretty decent two-way already as a 19-year-old. He was woefully inadequate when it came to strength. He lost a ton of face-offs simply because he would be bullied and muscled off the spot. And yeah, even though he was game, he'd put his nose in there. He was often on the receiving end of things. It's funny you make the Jason Smith comparison, Jason, because there are a couple of elements of this deal that involve the Edmonton Oilers or reflect on the Edmonton Oilers, if I may. Number one, I do believe the Vancouver Canucks, while this was a high price, looked at a recent comparable deal and said the Oilers gave up picks 16 and 33 last year for Griffin Reinhardt, who one day hopes to be an Eric Branson-type player. We're giving up, ironically, pick 33 and Jared McCann, who was a first-round pick the previous year, I want to say 24 or 25.
24?
Yeah, and we're moving back the 40 places from round four to round five. We can argue that this is a comparable, if not better, deal than what the Oilers struck for Griffin Reinhardt, particularly when you consider the season Matthew Barzal had this year as the 16th pick from that year's draft, from last year's draft.
Yeah, and Oilers fans will tell you Oilers overpaid. So
yeah,
you're,
and I think there are a bunch of Canucks fans who will tell you, Jason, the Canucks overpaid as well.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, both teams were absolutely desperate for a young defenseman at the time the deals were made. And if you're desperate for a young defenseman, guess what? People take advantage of you, and rightfully so. But the other, and I think the bigger element of this that ties back to the Oilers, the Vancouver Canucks have been sniffing around defensemen for several weeks here now. And the one thing that they were very fearful of is, whether it was Gudbranson, Hamonic before he withdrew the trade request, Shattenkirk, Tyson Barrie, one of the Minnesota defensemen, they were worried about an open market bidding situation whereby they had to compete with the Edmonton Oilers to get a defenseman on the trade market this summer, because they knew full well the Oilers have the number four pick that could be in play, and they have a young forward, be it Nugent Hopkins, Hall, Eberle, whomever, who could be in play. We don't have anything comparable to that. So if this becomes an open market situation for a Barrie, for a Hamonic, for whoever the case may be, and Edmonton's involved, we are not going to be able to beat the price that Edmonton could feasibly pay for that young defenseman. And in the case of this trade, the genesis of it was 72 hours ago, when a call got returned by one of the new Florida assistant general managers to one of the Canucks assistant general managers who had a previous history. And the Florida assistant GM said, hey, by the way, we really like Jared McCann. And the Canucks AGM brought that to his boss, Jim Benning. And Benning said, well, we've asked about him in the past, but Dale Tallon wasn't ready to make him available or wanted to too much. Let's see where this goes. And, you know, McCann, they soured on him a little bit last year at the end of the year simply because he's one of these new generation kids who believes, you know, I'm ready, they should play me more, I shouldn't be a healthy scratch. And so when McCann's name was brought up on the Florida end, Vancouver found out that Gudbranson was by no means untouchable, they said, let's make this deal now, because I'm not sure we're going to be able to make one at the draft if the Edmonton Oilers are bidding against us for a defenseman.
That's interesting, Matt, that the Edmonton connection. Benning's given you guys something to talk about and write about, but there's more to do. One other move, quite a bit more minor from the outside. This Tom Nielsen, is this a depth move or a guy they think can play on the roster?
Honestly, Robin, I saw it on my way home today. I haven't been able to talk to anyone with the Canucks about it. Excuse me, but I do think it is, more a depth move.
Matt Zakaris joins. Matt, you look at the overall roster of the Canucks, and so they add Gabranson, that they're likely going to lose Dan Hamhuis, so all arrows seem to be pointing that way. So, like, how many years away do you think? Like, how many more pieces? What does this team desperately need if they want to get back in contention in the Pacific?
Well, I think they're better next year than they were before this deal, because they've added an NHL defenseman for someone who's, you know, not necessarily an NHL contributor right now. But I still think this team is some ways away. I mean, they were dreadful defensively last year, one of the worst teams in the league in terms of giving up chances. They were dreadful offensively. They were second worst to New Jersey in terms of goals scored. You know, we've marveled at how the Sedin twins have been able to maintain, a pretty good scoring, a pretty good production thus far, but they ain't getting any better, and I think everybody realizes that. So, do I think they could take a step towards competitiveness in a playoff spot next year? But, boy, they missed by a fair number this year. I suspect some of the teams around them, including the Oilers, are going to get better here, because they're going to get better from within in a lot of cases, where
there are very few players with the Canucks who are going to get better from within right now. So, I mean, I don't think they're a playoff team next year, if that's what you're asking. Maybe the year after, which is the final year of the Sedins deal, at which point we anticipate, well, you know, either they'll retire or maybe they'll sign a shorter-term contract to give it another go. But, yeah, I mean, I think this is still a project that's several years away, even if they get a little bit closer to a playoff spot and competitiveness next year.
Matty, good stuff. Quickly, for fun, for because I know you're a big Eskimo fan, or a big CFL guy. The Eskimos today, of course, signed a former BC Lion. Give me your scouting report on Cord Parks.
Oh, Cord. I actually didn't know that, Jason.
Yes.
Cord had a tremendous rookie season with the Lions, however many years ago that was, 3 years or so. And we were really, really disappointed that he wasn't able to build on that and become a better player. Because at one point I thought, boy, you know, this guy could be an elite defensive back and be in the league a long time. I still think he has some pretty good tools. As I recall, he's a pretty good man cover guy. But, yeah, it was disappointing that he wasn't able to build on a fantastic first season here at BC. But do I think he can play in the CFL? Absolutely, I do. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if he has a bit of a renaissance under a new coach there, new opportunity, and gets back to playing to a very good starter level in the league.
Excellent.
And it's funny you mentioned that, Jason, because as of this time tomorrow, I'll be in a vehicle on my way to beautiful Kamloops, British Columbia, and the BC Lions training camp at Thompson Rivers.
Oh, yeah, that University. Is. That I will say this. The Lions have the best training camp facility going. There's no arguing that.
It's pretty good. It's usually quite sunny. The facilities there for a small university are fantastic, and we always enjoy our time in the Thompson Okanagan.
Well, Matty, get some sunscreen on, and we will talk to you in June.
Good stuff. Thanks, friends.